Welcome to China Perspectives, a podcast on economic and credit developments in China, featuring experts from within and outside of Fitch Ratings. My name is Ying Wang, Head of APAC Energy and Utilities at Fitch Ratings. In today's podcast, I'm joined by my colleague Katie Chen, Senior Director of Asia-Pacific Non-Bank Financial Institutions Team at Fitch Ratings based in Taipei, to discuss the key credit trends of China's big four national asset management companies. Katie has been with Fitch since 2014 and has extensive analytical experience covering the financial institution sector in the Greater China region. Before she moved to her hometown city of Taipei in 2016, she was based in Beijing covering the Chinese banking sector. Katie, thanks for coming. The topic of our podcast today is China's big four national asset management companies, or big four AMCs in short. They are namely China CITIC Financial Asset Management, which used to be called China Huarong Asset Management, China Great Wall Asset Management, China Orient Asset Management, and China Xingdai Asset Management. Some of our podcast audience may know that they were created in the late 1990s to deal with the non-performing loans of the major state-owned banks. But in recent years, there has been increased regulatory scrutiny and calls for reform to improve their risk management practices and corporate governance. So perhaps we can start off with a quick overview of how the Chinese national AMCs have evolved over time and what are the main challenges facing them now.
Sure, thanks, Ying. National AMCs were originally set up by the Chinese government to resolve the problem loans of the state banks in late 1990s, as you mentioned. They started the commercialization process and diversifying into other financial services to pursue growth in the 2000s as the Chinese government initiated market-oriented financial reforms. As a result, the AMCs grew significantly both in sizes and the complexity of their products and services. They became more like financial conglomerates with increasing organizational complexity. Their aggressive growth in non-loan exposure through shadow banking activities and misconduct and irregular practices also led their risk exposure to rise. Chinese regulators started tightening the oversight on AMCs in 2018 after increasing regulatory scrutiny on shadow banking risk and China Huarong's corporate governance incident associated with its exit chairman's corruption investigation. The regulator also guided the AMCs to return to their core distressed asset management business and lay out a more stringent capital requirement for AMCs with increasing supervision over the sector. However, the risks accumulated during their rapid expansion in the earlier years, compounded with the economic slowdown in China in recent years, caused some AMCs' financial performance and their capital position to deteriorate. In 2021, China Huarong reported a RMB 100 billion of loss after a significant delay in releasing its 2020 annual report. At the end, Chinese government stepped in to oversee a capital injection from a group of SOEs led by CITIC Group. But the capitalization was quickly eroded again when the company reported another huge loss for 2022. On the other hand, China Great Wall has also delayed the release of its annual result, while other AMCs reported meaningful drop in their 2022 financial performances. And there hasn't been much clarity on the situation even till now. This has raised more concerns about the AMC sectors and the governance support stance for national AMCs. In the meantime, AMCs' high exposure to property developers with large property collateral make them highly vulnerable when the Chinese housing market remains weak. We believe AMC's weak financial performances with pressure on their asset quality and capitalization have constrained their ability to execute their policy role to resolve the problem loans in the system when they're supposed to step up in the current economic downturn. This has undermined their overall credit profile and also the government's support expectation in our view.
Thank you, Katie. One thing I would like to highlight to the audience is that three out of the four national AMCs' ratings are currently on rating watch negative due to a further downward pressure on their standalone credit profiles, while one of them, China Xingdai, is on stable outlook. Could you share with us Fitch's 2024 sector outlook for Chinese national AMCs And what do you see as the major near-term risks to their standalone credit profiles?
Yeah, thanks, Ying. Our sector look for Chinese national AMC's standalone profile for 2022 is deteriorating. This mainly reflects the pressure from the macroeconomic headwinds and also the weak property market in China. As I mentioned earlier, AMCs have high exposure to the property sector, which makes their asset quality and profitability highly depend on the recovery of the property market. Recently, Fitch has cut the forecast for China's housing market with a 5 to 10% decline in new home sales. So the slower recovery will likely to impact AMC's financial performances. We expect overall a longer recovery period and also lower recovery rate for 2024. And this will continue to pressure AMC's asset quality, earnings and profitability, and also their internal capital generation capabilities. We've seen that the government has committed to contain the property sector stress. This could help to lessen the impact, but we believe the pressure will likely to persist. With that said, AMC's refinancing risk should be modest, as it will be mitigated by the continuous funding and liquidity support from the domestic banking system. There is also strong implicit government support perceived by the local players. We expect that AMCs could return back to the offshore market to issue bonds opportunistically if the price is favorable, so that they can refinance some of the mature US dollar bond and to support their offshore problem loan acquisitions as part of their strategy to return to their core distressed asset management business.
Right. Currently, the four national AMCs are all rated investment grade by Fitch, with the highest rating being A- on China Xingda and China Orient, while the other two are rated BBB. These ratings are well above their standalone credit profiles because the ratings incorporate an assumption of strong extraordinary support from the Chinese central government if they need such support to help that service. However, given the headwinds and challenges that we just talked about, how do you view the government's support stance for the national AMCs?
Yes, as you mentioned, there is a clear gap between the AMC's standalone credit profile and their issuer ratings. That's because we continue to expect support from the Chinese government to the national AMCs in times of need. However, our expectation of support has weakened compared to before because of the weaker support stance, and also the AMC's ability to perform their policy role has eroded over time. We view that the timeliness and the sufficiency of the government support in terms of the capital injection less predictable, given there is no clear and public statement from the authorities. The track record for the government's extraordinary capital support to AMCs has also been consistent in recent years, as we can see in the significant delays in the capital injection into China Huarong in 2021, and also the delayed publication of China Great Wall's 2022 financial results. We do recognize that the government support from the Chinese government can be demonstrated through different forms, including regulatory forbearance. So AMCs continue to operate in distressed asset management business, despite some of them have capital position close to or even falling below the regulatory requirement. However, we haven't seen any material restriction on this company's operation imposed by the authority, but instead the government has given them time to dispose their non-core assets and try to restore their financial profile. The implicit government support has also benefited AMC's funding access to the domestic banking system and capital market, which I've mentioned earlier. This helped to reduce their liquidity and refinancing risk and allow them to continue to acquire problem assets in the system. CITIC Group's involvement in helping CITIC AMC to address its legacy issues and then to restore its financial strength is also seen as a demonstration of the government's support. With that said, though, we do consider relativity against Chinese policy institution and systematic important bank when we assess government support stance for AMCs. We believe that the government will prioritize support for large state-owned banks and some large joint stock commercial banks in times of need. because these banks usually have much larger deposit funding balance sheet. In order to prevent any shocks to the depositors that could threaten the social and financial stability.
Right, Katie. So based on what you just said, I understand that we view that the government support for the national AMCs has weakened to some extent from before, but support expectation is still there. It's built into the ratings. But another question I have is, do you consider the level of support to be similar for all four of them?
At the moment, there is differentiation between the ratings of the four AMCs, but all four of them are still in investment grade. This is because we believe that the level of government support expectations for these AMCs could depend on their ability to execute their policy role. We believe that the AMCs with stronger standalone credit profiles to be able to take on more responsibilities to resolve the problem loans in the system. And this helps to enhance their policy roles and policy significance to the government and leads to a higher probability of receiving government support if needed. On the other hand, AMCs with weaker financial profiles and more limited capital headroom may have weaker ability to undertake the policy-driven business. This could impede their policy role and significance in the system and then lead to a lower expectation on the government support.
Okay, shifting gear a little bit. We know that the distressed asset management industry in China has evolved over the past two decades. And the national AMCs nowadays face more market competition from both traditional banks and non-bank financial institutions, as well as from new competitors into this market. Plus, we just discussed they are facing numerous challenges to their asset quality and profitability. So how do you see the national AMC's policy role and significance in today's Chinese financial system?
Yes. So we have observed that the national AMC's policy role and significance gradually reduce over time, but they continue to hold a significant market shares in the non-performing loans sold by the banks. And we believe that they continue to serve an important policy role with policy significance, at least in the medium term. This is because local AMCs and the bank's asset investment company subsidiaries are still quite small in scale, and also their risk management capabilities are still yet to be sufficiently developed. At the moment, only national AMCs are permitted to conduct distressed asset management business on a nationwide basis in China. They are also involved in supporting small and medium-sized troubled financial institutions and handling the stalled residential homes recently. With that said, we do believe national AMCs' policy role have gradually reduced over time, while local AMCs are taking on more significant policy roles when the small regional banks step up their non-performing loan disposal efforts. We've observed that the size of the distressed assets national AMCs acquire from the banking system has declined yearly since 2018. And this is mainly driven by AMC's effort to maintain their commercial interest in light of the challenging economic condition, as well as some AMC's weakened capital position and operational challenges have constrained their ability to perform their policy role. In the meantime, the banks have also strengthened their own problem loan resolution ability through improved collection capability and also increased the write-off of the problem loans each year.
We know there have been some major changes to one of the national AMC's ownership and shareholding structure, which is why China Huarong changed its name. And recently, there has also been some market talk that there could be more ownership changes coming. How may Fitch assess the credit impact of such changes to the ownership structure for the national AMCs?
So we've also noticed the news on the market. However, at the moment, we still believe that the Chinese government is and will continue to be the ultimate support provider for the national AMCs. This is mainly because we believe that AMCs still hold a very important policy role with policy significance to resolve the problem loans in the system. As a result, we apply the government support rating framework for policy-focused NBFIs on national AMCs. And when we assess their ownership structure, we apply a look-through approach. We don't expect that the rating framework to change simply because of the ownership change. If AMCs continue to play that policy role and have that significance in the system. When we assess the ownership influence, basically we will assess whether the ownership change would indicate a dilution or a strengthening of their policy role or government control. We'll also assess how the ownership change would affect the timeliness of the support or whether it will help to streamline the capital support process. In the past, we believe that the AMC's ownership structure, role in the system, and also the lengthy government approval process have adversely affected the timeliness of the required support, as seen in the case of China CITIC AMC's 2021 capital injection and also China Great Wall's 2022 financial reporting delay. Therefore, any ownership change that will prove effective to meaningfully improve the timeliness of the support could be seen as positive for their ratings. In addition, the introduction of a new shareholder that leads to an improvement or enhancement of management and strategy, or even a strengthening of risk profile, could benefit this AMC's standalone credit profile. This could in turn strengthen the AMC's ability to perform their policy role and can be seen as positive for their ratings as well.
Before we wrap up today, Katie, could you shed some light on the next steps Fitch might take to resolve the negative rating watches on China CITIC, China Orient, and China Great Wall in terms of the timeline and focus of review?
Sure. So we've placed these three companies on rating watch negative in January. This reflects our view that there is still downward pressure on their support-driven ratings because their standalone credit profile could potentially weaken and that the weakening capitalization could further reduce their ability to execute their policy roles. We plan to resolve the rating watches for the three AMCs after they publish their 2023 financial statements. Our review will be focusing on several things, but mainly assessing their standalone credit profiles, in particular their capital position. It will also assess whether there's any impact on their ability to execute their policy role if their standalone profile weakens. We'll also assess the impact of the potential ownership change and regulatory development, if there's any, in the coming months. As I mentioned earlier, the microeconomic challenges and the property market slump has pressured their asset quality, earnings, and profitability, given their large exposure to the property sector. The internal capital generation is also weakened because of the slower asset growth, higher impairment charges, and also the downward fair market revaluation. Therefore, any sustained deterioration in terms of asset qualities and earnings and profitability and also capital headroom, without any credible plans to restore the capitalization, may further weaken our expectation for their ability to perform their policy role, and also the likelihood of the government support. In addition, if there's any rising support uncertainty, if there's any further material delay to capital and liquidity provision to restore their credit profile, this could also be seen negative. On the other hand, if we observe any significant improvement in their standalone profiles, including stronger capital buffer, that could enhance their policy role execution and also their significance, will reduce the downward pressure on the ratings. We also believe that a stronger government support stance in the form of clear government statement on support for national AMCs or an ownership structure that could improve the timeliness of support, or a track record of more timely and sufficient support is warranted, then this could help to stabilize the ratings.
Thank you very much, Katie, for sharing your views on the Chinese national AMC sector. It was a very succinct, highly insightful summary of how the sector has evolved, the key challenges and how Fitch views their policy roles and the government's policy stance has changed over time. Our audience is walking away with a clear roadmap of what to watch out for in the near future. I very much look forward to having you back with us again when there are more developments on the AMC's credit fundamentals and there's more clarity on their ratings trajectories. Thanks again for joining the podcast, Katie.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Fitch Ratings China Perspectives podcast. To learn more about our ratings and research on China, visit us at fitchratings.com. Please subscribe to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Take care until next time.